Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us. Lord, we pray that you would lead us to the rock who is higher than ourselves, and that's you. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus in the midst of the many distractions that are around us. We pray that you would help us to listen and depend on you. Pray that for myself, especially. God, I pray that you would help me to speak as if these people are in this room. Lord, we're so thankful that your word will accomplish precisely what it's meant to do, that it's more powerful than anything else. So we pray that you would go to work this very morning in Jesus' name. Amen. What would you say if someone asked you the meaning of the word salvation? It's an interesting question, I guess. The words translated in the Old Testament to us as salvation are usually talking about a temporal salvation, a saving in this earthly life, saving from sickness or your earthly enemies or hostilities. Importantly, in the New Testament takes that word and those words and realizes and shows that that was just a snapshot of the eternal salvation we have in Jesus Christ. But whether we're thinking about temporal salvation or we're thinking about eternal salvation, what do you think you would imagine if you had to imagine being saved? How would you think about that? What would it mean to be saved from your earthly circumstances? What would surprise you? So imagine that. What would be surprising to you as you think about salvation? You wake up in an ambulance on the way to the hospital, and the paramedics have told you that you have fallen asleep. Really, you've lost consciousness in your bedroom, and they found you on the bedroom floor. What would you say to them? Would you be surprised that somebody ushered these paramedics into your room to save your life? Would it surprise you even more if you were told that the person who saved you was Spider-Man? Well, amazingly, that's the exact situation that Jaylen Emmett of Saratoga Springs, Utah, found herself in. She suffers from a heart rhythm disorder, and one day she felt her heart racing, so she, while her husband is off at Army Reserve basic training, she calls her parents who live nearby, asks them to come help, but nobody answers. So she calls 911, and that's the last thing she answers. But the interesting thing is, even as she lost consciousness, the operator picked up the phone, and there was a voice on the other end of the line, and his name was Spider-Man. No matter what Spider-Man, no matter what they asked him, this person always responded with the name Spider-Man or Peter Parker. It was Jalen's 5-year-old son. So when the ambulance went to the wrong house, he turned the lights on and off so that the paramedics could come in and find her. Salvation in the real world by someone named Spider-Man. That is surprising. Salvation in this real world by a 5-year-old boy. That's surprising. But our familiarity with the book of Jonah has sometimes caused us to lose the fact in this very real world that it is absolutely astonishing, surprising, that salvation would come through a large fish. Furthermore, Jonah, the son of Amittai, in many ways the main human character of this story, is a traitor. The God who lovingly created him gave him clear commands in God's word, and Jonah disobeyed them. Furthermore, Jonah was given a message that if heeded could save thousands of lives, and Jonah refused to bring that message to the Ninevites. It sounds very similar to what would more recently be called conspiracy to commit murder. Really, Jonah sounds like an ungrateful, selfish, heartless person. He sounds like us. Because, you see, we've disobeyed God's loving commands. We've been heartless people. We've kept the message of salvation to ourselves. Therefore, all of us, especially those of us who are like me, who are religious people, need to ask ourselves this one question this morning. Are you surprised by salvation? Are you surprised by salvation? This passage should surprise you. Temporal salvation by means of a fish is surprising. So we're going to relive this story with Jonah. And as we do, I want you to pay attention to three things as we ask ourselves if we are surprised by salvation. First, we want to look at the surprising means of salvation. Then we're going to look at the prayer for salvation. And then we're going to look lastly at the surprising result of salvation. So the surprising means of salvation, the prayer for salvation, and the surprising result of salvation. Are you surprised by salvation today? You should be when you look at the surprising means of salvation. Look with me at verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. As we heard a few weeks ago when Pastor John preached up here at the North Campus and Pastor Jeff preached at the Central Campus, Jonah is hurled into the sea as a consequence for his sins. He's been running. And nobody survives being adrift at sea in the middle of a storm. But surprise, surprise, Jonah survives. And if we were to imagine a means of salvation, someone being thrown overboard, we might think, oh, you know, maybe some debris is floating Jonah can grab a hold of. Maybe another ship passes by and Jonah's able to wave his hands and get saved. But no, it's a giant fish, a great fish. And that word fish could be translated sea creature, so a whale is a possibility, but I'm going to stick with fish. And God uses this fish to swallow Jonah whole. Now, if you're like me and you think about being swallowed by whether it's a lion or a hippopotamus or an anaconda or something, when you think swallowed, you probably think death. And that's what that word usually means. It's usually translated, when swallow is used in the Old Testament, it's usually referring to being taken off into exile. It usually means being killed. But this fish swallows him, and it's the surprising means of Jonah's salvation. And he's in there not for a few minutes, not really even just for a couple hours, but for days. It says for 3 days and three nights. Now that can mean that meaning can also mean not literally three 24-hour days, but probably at least he's in there 36 hours. This is a long time. That's a long time cramped inside a coffin-sized, squishy, smelly stomach cavity. And Jonah, what's interesting, though, when you look back at that first chapter, he went into the sea knowing that he deserved death. He knew he was disobeying the Lord. See, what's interesting is we have to ask ourselves, do we feel like we deserve death? That our disobedience really deserves the death that Jonah felt he deserved. Social distancing is hard. It's really hard. I miss seeing you. I wish I was looking at more faces right now than I am. But the way Jesus describes hell, the punishment for our sins, that's the ultimate social distancing. Because it says that we're apart, we're away from God's blessed presence. He's not with us to bless us. And if we don't see faces. Jesus just describes it as darkness. It's darkness. And when we hear voices, we don't hear the smiling faces of celebrities trying to make us laugh, or our friends on Skype or whatever, or on Zoom. We hear wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's serious. If we're really going to be surprised by salvation, we need to recognize that we deserve death. We have to wrestle with the fact that we're like Jonah. And if we don't wrestle with that fact, we won't be surprised by salvation. And if we're not surprised by it, we'll probably think we deserve it. And if we think we deserve it, probably means we won't receive it. Only people who know that they are sinners are surprised by salvation. Are you surprised by salvation? If you're surprised by salvation, you will accept the surprising means of salvation no matter what they are. You'll take it. But as we see, there's not only surprising means of salvation. When you are surprised, you're probably going to respond to God in prayer. So that's really what Jonah does. So let's look at, after looking at the surprising means of salvation, let's look at Jonah's prayer for salvation, the prayer for salvation. We actually get to hear Jonah's thoughts when he's in the middle of this fish's belly, when he describes what it's like to be saved from drowning. And so let's imagine for a moment that we are marine biologists, or we're underwater veterinarians, or whomever. I'm not sure how this would work, but we have stethoscopes. We're able to put the stethoscope up to the fish's belly and hear what's going on inside. What is Jonah saying from the inside of that fish? Well, the first things we'd hear is that Jonah is praying, and this prayer gives a summary of salvation. Gives a summary of salvation. Look with me at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. In chapter 1, we see these pagans who are worshiping other gods, but immediately when there's the crisis is on, it takes them only minutes once they realize that the true God of Israel is the God who's brought the storm. It only takes them minutes to turn to the living Lord. But now we see it takes Jonah, this religious prophet, days. Finally, he calls out to the Lord. Finally, he does something, and something amazing happens. Don't let this slip past you. God hears him. God hears his prayers. Nobody else on earth heard this prayer. Nobody else on earth knows what's going on in Jonah's life, but God does. Does in your life, too. And Jonah uses this word, Sheol. That's an Old Testament word that really means kind of the underworld. It can mean death or hell or the grave. And Jonah calls out, he says, not from the jaws of death, but from deeper in, from the belly of Sheol. And if salvation can be summarized, Jonah does a very good job here in verse 2. He called out to the Lord out of his distress, and God answered him. Okay. But if we're in our scuba gear, and we really do imagine Jonah is in the belly of this fish, and we hear this summary of salvation, we really want to know a little more. We want details. I mean, come on, how did you get in there? Tell me more. What's it like? Well, the good news is Jonah's going to tell us what his salvation was like. Because as we look, not only does this prayer give a summary of salvation, this prayer reveals the situation of salvation. It reveals the situation of salvation in this prayer. So let's get a glimpse of the details of Jonah's situation by looking at verse 3 down to the beginning of verse 6. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Jonah reveals his desperate situation. He's drowning. He's been cast into the deep, and not just by people. He says right here, God has done it. God has cast him into the deep, into the ocean. And if we could listen through our stethoscope and listen, it would be something like Jonah saying this, I kicked my legs as hard as I could. I put the best strokes that I practiced as a kid in the ocean, but I looked around, there's water everywhere. It's to my right and to my left. But now, not only is it beneath him, not only is it beneath me, he's saying, now it's over him. The billows, the waves are over his head. And Jonah is saying, I was sinking. I was sinking. The details are it's darkness and pressure and cold. Down to the lowest, deepest, darkest parts of this body of water. That's what the roots of the mountains means there. Down to the bottom. And Jonah feels life slipping away. He's losing consciousness. Feels it slipping away. And if you're like me, I don't even like swimming when there's seaweed touching my feet. He's down so deep, the seaweed is wrapped around his head. This is the site of his death, and he knows it. He knows this is the end. He's sure of it. He feels, verse 6 says, the bars of life basically shut and locked behind him. That's it. He's dead. And even that little phrase there in verse 4, translated, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple, many scholars think that actually should be translated as a question. That doesn't even provide that level of hope. It's a question, how? How shall I look upon your holy temple? This is what he experiences, feeling the righteous judgment of God without hope, facing death. This is Jonah's situation. This is the situation of this prayer. And for some of you, you can relate. You can relate. It was the diagnosis or the family crisis, the danger, the hopelessness, the loneliness. But when we really think about it and take a step back, those are just the weeds around our head. The real danger is the water we're drowning in, which is that we're soaked in sin and sinking and we need a Savior. Have you been there? Are you there right now? The proper response, if you're there right now, is what Jonah's response was, which is to pray. Pray. Seek the Lord in prayer until you're sure he hears you. And if he heard Jonah from the belly of a fish, he'll hear you where you are right now. He'll hear you in your seat right now. He'll hear you in your bed if you're alone at night. He'll hear you when you're driving down the road. You can call out to him in prayer. To seek salvation. But others of you are thinking, I've done that. And Jonah got his fish, came and saved him, but where's my salvation? Where I'm still suffering. Well, do notice that Jonah wasn't immediately swallowed by the fish. It took him some time. He was sinking slowly. Down, down. And maybe it was because God wanted Jonah to be surprised by a salvation. So I'm really, really sorry for those of you who are suffering and you feel this way. But it could be that God wants you to wait on him. See, Jonah's language here mirrors a number of Psalms, and they talk about waiting on the Lord and how hard that is. But Jonah, you see, he had to wait alone. You don't have to wait alone. That's why we love the body of Christ so much. You don't have to seek the Lord alone. Seek other Christians to help you. And you'll be surprised. God will work his salvation in surprising ways you continue to seek him. But are you surprised by your salvation? Are you this morning? But if we return to these verses, and we're still listening on our stethoscope underwater as Jonah prays, and we recognize in this prayer for salvation that his prayer gives a summary and then it gives a situation. But then there's still more to this prayer. This prayer shows the surprising source of salvation. It's the surprising source of salvation. The fish might have been the surprising means of salvation, but where did it come from? Where did it originate? What is this fish? Well, let's look at the end of verse 6 all the way to the end of verse 9. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah's prayer is continuing. We wanted details. Now we've got them. Through the first two chapters of Jonah, Jonah is going down. Like he got on the wrong escalator at the mall. The only way he's going is down. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the ship. He goes down into the deepest part of the ship. He lies down. Those are verses 3 and 5 of chapter 1. Then here in chapter 6, we realize he's in the ocean, and he's going down into the ocean, deeper and deeper into the ocean. But then, this is a surprising source of salvation, he starts moving back up. Because the Lord is the support, is the source of salvation. It's the Lord who brought him up. It's the Lord who saved him, who heard his prayer. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord who saves Jonah. It's the Lord who appointed the fish, it says. It's the Lord who heard Jonah's prayers. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord who brought Jonah up. The Lord is the source of salvation. Why is that surprising? Why is that surprising? Because it's the Lord who was wronged by Jonah. When all those other sailors were seeking help from their gods, they weren't in trouble because of their sins. They were in trouble because of Jonah's sins. And yet Jonah was just sleeping through it, ignoring God, running from God. And yet, amazingly, it's the Lord who brings salvation to Jonah, the one who's acted like his enemy. This should be surprising to us. And this should make us realize how good God is and how differently he is from us. Because if you're like me, and you're going to save people? You're going to save people who have treated you perfectly. People who are perfect. But here, we see God who is full of love and full of mercy. Saves even his enemies. Verse 9 tells us something else surprising. Those uneducated, backward, pagan sailors, they only took minutes. Jonah, again, as was said earlier, took him days. Takes the religious guy days to catch up with the irreligious people. So this should kill any sort of self-righteousness in the church based on family background or upbringing or quality of schooling or anything like that. Since salvation comes from the Lord, since the Lord is the source, then he can distribute salvation to whomever he chooses. It took near drowning for Jonah to see that salvation comes from the Lord and only from the Lord. What will it take for you to see that? What will it take for you to see that? Will you trust in money? The economy's taking a pretty bad hit right now. How about romance? Think Prince Charming or the lady in red who's dancing with you will come and save the day. Do you think different family relationships are going to save you? That if everything was better, you'd at least have temporal salvation like Jonah got through the fish, or maybe even eternal salvation. If you just got along with people, you'd think the world would be right. If you're trusting in those things to save you, they are your God and they're idols. And Jonah says here in verse 8 that they're vain idols and that if you choose them over God, you've forsaken the love of God. You've forsaken Him and they won't help you. So money can't save you. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Good works, volunteering, social action won't save you. Salvation belongs to the Lord. A spouse or a better spouse won't save you. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Receiving respect or admiration or anything from somebody else, somebody that you want to admire you, it won't save you. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Completing your project, achieving your career goals won't save you. Having obedient children, being obedient children won't save you. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And here's why the Lord, as a surprising source of salvation, is such good news. The biggest problem you have is your sin against Him. And that means that He knows what it's going to take to make things right. So it's very, very good news. You've run from Him, you've disobeyed Him, but surprisingly, He's the source of salvation. He knows what it takes to keep you from, to stop you from continuing to go down, 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 but to lift you up. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And our God is so good that He freely and lovingly gives it to whomever He chooses, whomever will turn and stop running from Him. Are you surprised by salvation? We've looked at the surprising means of Jonah's salvation. We've listened to his prayer for salvation. We'll turn lastly to the surprising result of salvation, which will be much briefer. See, to me, it would have been good enough for God to just save Jonah in the belly of the fish. Just save his life. Let Jonah acknowledge, you know, God's been good to me to give me another chance to repent before I die. And then Jonah get to die and be decomposing in the fish. That would have been good enough for me. But that's not what happens. Look with me at verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. Really, we see here that the fish is more obedient than Jonah. The fish is where he's supposed to be when God sends him. The fish swallows what God feeds him. The fish releases his food when God tells him to. But why? Why does chapter 2 end this way? Because we need to get to chapters 3 and 4. Because you see, the surprising result of salvation is mission. Is mission. God saved Jonah centuries before Christ and saves us today to go on mission for Him, to advance His kingdom. God takes disobedient people, transforms them, and then uses them, is pleased to use them to give them purpose and meaning. It's incredible. He blesses us to go on His mission. So you've sinned in the past. We get it. But when salvation has come to you, God wants to use you for His mission. You can go. You don't need to let that hang you up. Are you surprised by salvation yet? I mean, we've looked at the details. Let's zoom out just for a minute here before we end. Let's look at the big picture. This should be so surprising to you. A disobedient man running from God is hurled into the ocean for his sins, and he doesn't die. And he doesn't die because he's swallowed by a huge fish. I mean, this is so unbelievable that many people have thought, well, maybe Great Fish is the name of an inn where Jonah spent several nights. Kind of like if Jonah was in Spokane, he would have been swallowed by the Bigfoot Tavern or the Flying Goat Pizza and then would have been spit out. But that's not what happens here. The man descended into a real fish. And think about the Ninevites who hear Jonah coming in chapters 3 and 4. They hear the story, perhaps, that Jonah has come out of the mouth of a fish. And, I mean, this means of salvation of this Jonah is so unusual, so unexpected, so counterintuitive, so preposterous. Let's just admit it. It's almost as crazy as believing that someone would have to come all the way down and die and go into the ground and then come out of that to be saved. Listen to Matthew 12, 38 through 40. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he, that's Jesus, answered, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. But no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Here's why your salvation should surprise you. It took more than a fish to save you. It took more than a prophet like Jonah to save you. It took God himself coming to earth to save you. Jonah had a near-death experience. Jesus had the full death experience, and then was raised from the dead. Jesus had to go to the cross to pay for our sins. That is surprising. And he died and was raised from the dead, witnessed by hundreds. All of this to show that we have to rely on the fact that salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as I close, let me mention again about this story. Kids, don't let people tell you you're a fool for believing this. Because Jesus believed it and stated that it was true. He said the same thing for all kinds of stories that people don't want to believe because God knew the cultural moment we would be living in. So Jesus affirmed Adam and Eve as real people. Jesus affirmed the crossing of the Red Sea. Jesus affirmed Noah's flood. All these sorts of things Jesus affirmed, and Jesus taught like nobody else. Jesus did rise from the dead, can be trusted. He's taught like nobody else. The evidence is clear. The reason why people don't want to believe it is because we prefer to go down, 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 and away from the Lord rather than trust that it's the Lord who's going to lift us up. So I hope as we end here that you are surprised by salvation. Again, or maybe for the first time. The reason why I hope that is because when people are surprised, they talk about it. They talk about what's surprising. And nothing could be more surprising or should be more surprising than that God comes and saves people like us, people like you, by laying down his life for us. More surprising than being saved by a little boy named calling himself Superman. Let's be surprised that salvation belongs to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are good to us. We want to confess that salvation is only in you. God, surprise us again. Renew in us the joy of our salvation. And Lord, even as we are forced to be apart from others, we pray, Lord, that we would experience the presence of your Spirit transforming us from the inside out, renewed and excited about Jesus who's come and saved us by descending into the earth and being raised from the dead. In his name we pray, amen.